إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، من يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، once again I welcome all of you to our classes, and on Saturdays now we're gonna continue talking about this important subject matter, which is the al-usra, the family. We're going to, inshallah ta'ala, in these lectures and these classes on Saturday nights between Maghrib and Isha, we're going to bring the muhadarat, the lectures, and the advices of our noble scholars for the family, for the Muslim family. This is part two, as I am reading from one of the lectures, what actually used to be a Jumu'ah khutbah, by our beloved Sheikh Al-Walid, Dr. Saleh Al-Fawzan, Hafidahullah. In part one, last Saturday, the Sheikh, just to give you a brief summary, the Sheikh talked about the importance of a family, because they are the bricks of communities. Communities that are made of families come together. And if those families are strong, that will reflect on the communities and societies. And the families themselves, they are made of individuals. A man who marries a woman, and they start the family. Small family. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them children, and the family get expanded, get bigger and bigger through the years. So those individuals, if they're strong, if they're righteous, if they're upright, they will reflect on the family. The family will be strong, be righteous, upright, and therefore it will reflect also in a positive way, in a good way, on the community and the society. So since the man and the woman, which they be the husband and the wife, and they become, inshallah, the father and the mother, if Allah grant them children, they are the main component in the family. The main element in the family. That's why you find in Islam texts from the Quran and from the Sunnah, as the Shaykh Hafidhahu ta'ala mentioned in details, this is only a brief summary, that the right choice should be made. The right choice should be made by the man and by the woman. That the man should choose the right woman to marry. How a person make the right choice? By following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by following that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised men in this regard. If a person follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فليبشر خيرا. If a person put his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow the sunnah in this regard to choose a woman, then inshallah he will see nothing but pleasing to him. But if a person want to do it his way, or follow dunya, or follow other, have other motives, other reasons, not following the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that person gonna collect whatever they strive for. Likewise, the woman should also choose the righteous husband, But the woman, she doesn't do it by herself in Islam. She do it by the help and the assistance of the wali. So the wali al-amr has a great responsibility, as the Shaykh highlighted that responsibility in a part one. That the wali, which usually the father, or if he's not present or not fit to be the wali, then he goes to those who are fit in Islam to represent the woman. So anyone who's representing the woman in this regard, they should always remember that this is a great responsibility upon their shoulders. And they should not cheat those women. Because cheating the women by not choosing for them the righteous man, as in the Sunnah of the Prophet, he tells us who's the righteous man, who's the right husband, the one who practices religion correctly, the man who's upright in his aqidah, in his creed, in his belief, the man who performs the actions of worship, that man who has good manners with others. Naam. If you are pleased with the one's religion and pleased with his moral character, that's a good man. But if the wali al-amr doesn't choose, he has other motives, man. He has another scale. This is the scale of the sunnah. But some wali, no, he has to have a lot of money. He has to have a lot of money, has a bigger house, has a business or two, but he doesn't pray. That's okay, man. Allah yahdi. May Allah guide him, see? Yeah, but he has bad mouth. Yeah, everybody has bad mouth. He's the only one. See, try to find excuses for him. Why? Because of the desire. Of the desire. Rather, it is a great responsibility. And the Sheikh, he gave some examples of women have to deal with a lot of nonsense. Women has to deal with a lot of nonsense because they end up with the wrong men. Because the wali, the person in charge of her, didn't do his homework, didn't fear Allah, didn't fulfill his responsibility. And the Sheikh, he gave example last week. Well, actually, we read to you this example. The example Sheikh gave them a long time ago. But we read to you what I meant to say. I read to you those examples. A woman married to a man, find out he don't want to pray. He said to her, you pray, I ain't praying. Don't even talk to me about the prayer. A woman find out that the man doing drugs, drink alcohol, doing this. He gambles. He has a bad mouth, temper. She can't talk to him. Nobody can. The Sheikh, subhanAllah, he says, who's responsible? That wali who said to her, now he's a good man. He's a good person. Likewise, the Prophet ﷺ tells us, and this is still a summary of part one, that the woman is married, as the Prophet ﷺ tells us, for four reasons. For her beauty, for her lineage, for her wealth, and for the religion. I mean, she's upright, not just she's a Muslim because by affiliation. She was born in a Muslim country, or her name is a Muslim name, or she took shahada a couple years ago. No. She is upright upon the religion. What does it mean? That's what it means. That she's a woman, she believes in Allah, her aqidah is salima, and she's serious about her religion, and she practices her religion, and she fears Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, this is how women are married for. Some men, they marry women because she's beautiful. Others, they marry them because they have money, or because of the family lineage. Others, they're looking for the religion, and that's what the Prophet ﷺ advised us. He says, check the religion. And the Shaykh, he says, because once you marry a woman that she's religious and she's serious about Islam and about the deen of Allah and about pleasing Allah and being obedient to Allah, that will make up for any deficiencies she may have in her body, or in her, she may be poor, But she's not poor actually. She has a treasure that other people don't have. She has aqidah sahiha. She has the sound creed. She has good manners. She believes in Allah. And she wants to be in the Jannah. And she knows that she has to be on the path that leads to the Jannah. So the Shaykh, he says, كل نقص يمكن التغاضي عنه إلا نقص الدين. Every deficiency you can overlook except the deficiency in the religion. That's a major one. You can go blind on this one. But anything else, with the uprightness, with righteousness, it's nothing. It's minor. But the deficiency in the religion, that's a very serious problem. طيب. And that's where we stopped last time. We continue tonight, inshallah ta'ala. The Shaykh Hafidhahu ta'ala, he says, ثُمَّ يَأْمُرُ الْإِسْلَامِ بعد تمام الزواج بحسن العشرة بين الزوجين. Now alhamdulillah, the man find the right woman based on the sunnah, following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the woman, alhamdulillah, with the assistance and the help of the wali and the one who's in charge of her, alhamdulillah, she find the right husband. Now they marry. Of course, the marriage, the Shaykh, he didn't mention it, because inshallah, there is a lot of things we mention in this introduction, like this part one and two, they like introduction to this very broad topic of family. We're going to talk about a lot of things, as we mentioned last week. But briefly, if they agree to get married, then they have to get married according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they should not start their life with haram and munkarat and evil. As certain people, they get married and they start with evil. They gather many people and they spend a lot of money. And in those called walima, so-called, they mix in men and women, wal-iyadu billah, music and haram. Plus extravagance, food, they just throw it away. And wal-iyadu billah, how could the people really start their lives in that manner? Disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in day one. Now rather now, alhamdulillah, they have to, even the walima has to be in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and should be free from evil, should be free from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the Shaykh, he says, once the marriage take place, then the husband and the wife, they are commanded both. They have husnul ishra. They have to be nice to one another. It's a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because now they're going to live together. Because that lady now, she's going to have another zip code. New address. Sometimes not just new neighborhood, new town. Sometimes new state. Sometimes new country. Sometimes new continent. A brother live in America, he may marry a sister from Africa, or from Europe, or from Asia. Then she move here. She's coming to a new country. Never put a foot in here. She don't speak the language. She don't know the customs. She don't know the place, the weather. Everything changed away from her family. Now what that says, that man, he should put that in consideration. And he has to play the role, not just of a husband, the role of the husband, of the father, the mother, the cousins, the aunts, her brothers, because she should see in him all of that. He should treat her with kindness. And like I said, this is another topic that we're going to deal with. The difference is because when the ulama, they mention the problems, because marriage, everybody has the problems. There is no marriage that is problem-free. But what makes the difference is how
certain couples deal with their problems, and alhamdulillah, they do it in the right way, and Allah open a way for them. Others, they just do it their way, fighting, arguing, abusing one another, and that go against this point that the Shaykh is highlighting. Al-ishra, husn al-ishra. That the man and the woman, they have to live with kindness. Even in the times when you disagree, you still have to do it in a kind, in the most kind way. Why? Because you are created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not created to fight and to argue every morning, every afternoon. No, you're created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you want to be in an area, environment, around people who make it easy for you to stick to the deen of Allah. So the husband and the wife, they should keep that in mind. That they have to help one another upon taqwa, upon birr. Conflicts, that's normal, because we're human beings. It shouldn't be all the time. That's what the problem is. But if sometimes there is a little conflict, that's normal, but it should be addressed in a normal and the right way. The ulama, when they mention these things here, they say there is many things that leads to marital discord. And one of them is this obvious thing, that the man, she's different, he's different than the woman. Some men, they want the woman to think like him, to see things the way he sees things. No, that's impossible. She's different than you, Yah. She's different. Alright? She's a woman, and you're a man. You do it the way the man does it. And she does it because of her nature. She's a woman. As long as this should not be used as an excuse, and then disobey Allah and say, oh, I'm a man, I got a man, do it this way. No, man, do it that way according to what Allah legislated, with this condition. Okay, with this condition, it doesn't mean do whatever you want to do because you're a man. La. It's just because men, the way Allah created them, they see things in different way, they do things in different way. The women, because of their nature, they see things in different way. And they do things in different way. As long as they do what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't matter how you do it, as long as you do what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as you get there, man. Some people, they walk to come to the masjid. Some people, they drive. Some people, they catch the transportation, public transportation, as long as you make it in the right time. Likewise. As long as you come to agreement that, look, me and you, yes, we're husband and wife now, but we're still servants of Allah. We're still commanded to worship Allah. And this marriage of ours should help us. It should not come in our way. I should not come in your way, and you should not come in your my way of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But unfortunately, some marriages are just like that. They're just in face of one another. Some men don't even practice Islam anymore, and they blame it on the marriage problems. Some women left Islam. Why, sister? Because of him. No. That's not an excuse. You're still a servant of Allah, and you're going to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the Shaykh says it's very important. Look, Islam commanding us. Islam command that couple who are now married, they have to live with one another with kindness. ومن هنا ندرك اهتمام الإسلام باختيار الزوجين لأنهما ركيزة الأسرة وبصلاحهما تصلح الأسرة بإذن الله واهتمامه ببقاء الزوجية الصالحة الزواج الصالح النافع للمجتمع. The Shaykh says, because of this importance, because of this matter, Islam has given a great importance to, once again, choosing and making the right choice in choosing your spouse. Because the spouses, they are the pillars of the family. The husband and the wife, they are the main pillar of that family. And that's another thing. People don't go on the internet and look for a wife. There's no eHarmony that come in Islam. All right? No, no, no. Even though there is some websites like that, and they give them a name, Muslim names, Islamic names. I don't know half of your religion that what? The other side of you that what? All that stuff. And then, subhanAllah, and they put everything, information, phone number, names, email address, and then before you know it, they start chatting, talking to each other, and before you know it, Allahu A'lam, they call in for a fatwa from a sheikh, because they already get in trouble. And worst, those women who put their pictures, wal-iyadu billah, on the internet, that's not permissible. They put their pictures on so-called Facebook or on this and that. That's not permissible in Islam. But the man, he follows the proper channels to choose the righteous woman. And the wali al-amr, the one who is in charge of the woman, he follows the proper channels as legislated for us to choose a righteous man. Take your time, man. Some people, marriage is like nothing. They can get married in 2 hours. That's it. This is not, this is serious matter, man. Very serious matter. Now you're going to marry a woman that, subhanAllah, that you're going to see her every morning, every afternoon. When you get up, she's the first one you see. You're going to eat with her. You're going to travel with her. When you're sick, she's the one that's going to give you the medicine. When she's sick, you're the one that's going to take her to the doctor. She's going to carry your babies. SubhanAllah, man. And she's going to be in contact with your family, with your mother, with your father, with your family members. So you have to find the woman that she's going to do it for Allah, not for you. If she do it for your pretty face, that's a problem. If she see another prettier face, now you got a real problem now. If she do it for your money, then it's the same. Whether when you lose your money or somebody else have more than that. But you got to find the woman that she want to be with you for the sake of Allah. Because she sees in you that you're a man that fears Allah. A man who puts his akhirah before the dunya. The akhirah more important than the dunya. Cannot jeopardize the jannah because of anything of this. A man who has this deen, because even when he make a mistake, because we're human, we make mistakes, even if he get mad for a day or two, but in the end he's going to say, I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. Yes. I apologize. I have to apologize more than once, because I apologize because of the mistake and because of the harm I caused you, and arguing with you when I know I was wrong and you were right. See? But what make a person do this? Deen, the deen. Because he wants what's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because a happy couple, you know, that's actually, it's a good thing and good advantage for everybody. When the couple are happy in their lives, they can give a lot. And they can contribute in that family and in the community and the society. Look at yourself just as a person. When you're in a good mood, what do? Anything. Somebody says, let's go for a ride. Oh, Bismillah. Our brother is moving. You don't even ask how many bedrooms. He's like, let's do it. Just us two. Akhi, come on, we can handle it. Because you're happy. You're in a good mood. But if you're in a bad mood, you can't even pick up that plate after you eat. Right or wrong? That plate looks like it's a big mountain. Are you going to leave that plate in there? Yeah, he's going to stay there. You got a problem with that? Because you're in a bad mood. It's not like you're a bad person. That bad mood make you act like that, look like a bad person, but you are not a bad person. You have a lot of good things, but at that moment, that bad attitude make you look a bad person. So now if you married a woman that have the deen and the religion, and that's why she married you, she's going to say, no, that's not him. Somebody else is talking. Let me give him a time. And she's going to go do something else. And then, alhamdulillah, at that moment, you're going to think about it. You're going to say, subhanAllah, man. Because you know, if you were asked the same question about somebody else you don't know, you will never give him the answer. You will say, oh, this, you mean this plate? Oh, yeah, I'll take care of it. Thank you for the reminder. Right on. Huh? But now this is your wife, Ya Abdullah. She has more right. And it's okay for her to ask that question. No problem. Maybe she wants to clear that plate, but you don't know, you want to go and get more. So being kind, being gentle, being nice. If I'm having a bad day at work, whatever, who's giving me hard time, I should let her know, listen, I'm not going to be acting like I'm usual. I'm going through some things. It's not you. It's not you, okay? It's not you. If I snap or something, and you ask me, I look at you funny, or I ignore you, it's not you, okay? I'm just going through some things. Make dua for me, may Allah make it. This is how you do it. Some of us, men, we don't do this. We just come with a bad attitude in the house, and we let the shaitan tell that woman, yeah, it's because of you. And she's like, what did I do? Even at that moment you say, no, you didn't do nothing, she don't want to hear that. So it's very important, kindness, Yahwan. Live in kindness. Because when you're happy, Allahu Akbar, everything's falling into place in your life. But if you're mad and you're fighting and you're arguing and nothing, you can't even taste the food right. And you'll be adding more salt, more sugar in your pancake, 2 ounces, 10 ounces of syrup, and now you got diabetes after 3 years. But if you apply Islam correctly, alhamdulillah, everything tastes good. Doesn't matter what that woman cook and present, now you're like, what you put in here? Alhamdulillah, because you're happy, your nafs wants it. You're happy. Likewise, if you're happy with Islam, wallahi, akhi, you will practice it correctly. If you're happy with the salat, you will come early. And you don't want to leave right after the salat. If you're happy with the subject, if it's aqidah, and may Allah make us all happy with it. Man, you will be reading those books of aqidah. You can't get them out of your hand. Whenever it's a class of aqidah, you're the first one in here. Alhamdulillah, because of the love. When you love something, it becomes easy for you to do it. Look at those you love. You love sport, for example. You spend long hours playing, right or wrong? For nothing. Nobody signed. You didn't sign a contract for $10 million. It's raining, brother. Still playing tag, right? They do? Whatever. They're still playing football. It's raining, muddy. And they come home with the mud. And you're like, wait a minute. Are you coming in? Yeah, I'm coming in. Why are you playing in the mud? You don't understand. It's fun. Because to him it's fun. He's loving it. Likewise, you should love this marriage. Allah legislated for so many good reasons. You love your wife for the sake of Allah. And you will enjoy her. And you will enjoy being around her. You will enjoy what she cooks for you. You'll enjoy when she talks to you. And may Allah make us better. I mean. Now, قال الشيخ ثم بعد هذه المرحلة في تكوين الأسرة وهي مرحلة اختيار الزوجين يهتم الإسلام بتربية الذرية الحاصلة بين هذين الزوجين. Look these stages. Choosing the right spouse, doing it the right way. The next stage is having that marriage according to the Sunnah. Stage, you gotta live now, you're living together, you gotta live with one another with kindness, you respect one another, you love one another, you care about one another, be patient with one another, tolerate one another, forgive one another, pardon one another, for the sake of Allah. Now here is another stage. Education of the children. Because now Allah may give you children. Okay? Now Islam highlight the importance of this stage as well. So that those children be righteous children. As those children that Allah has given you and bestowing upon you, they become righteous. فَيَأْمُرُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ بِتَنْشِئَةِ أَوْلَادِهِمَ عَلَى الصَّلَاحِ وَالْإِبْتِعَادِ عَنِ الْفَسَادِ. Islam, this beautiful religion, commands the parents, to raise their children upon righteousness. To raise their children upon righteousness. It's a command, ya akhwan. It's not a choice. It's a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we raise our children upon the righteousness and we keep them away from corruption, from evil and corruption. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith that is sahih, مروا أولادكم بالصلاة لسبع وضربوهم عليها لعشر وفرقوا بينهم في المضاجع. Command your children to perform the prayer when they reach the age of seven. When they reach the age of seven, you command them to pray. You discipline them if they don't pray when they reach the age of 10. And you separate between them in the bed. They don't sleep together now. Before that, they can lay in next to each other. But now you separate. They have the house. Everyone have his own place to sleep. The ulama, they says, because they start to develop and this and that. And alhamdulillah. This is from the preventive ways of Islam. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, command your children with the prayer. This is another, like I'm telling you, this is like introduction. But, however, just highlight on this. This is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. The children are to be commanded to pray when they reach the age of seven. How you do it? With kindness. You remind the son. When he reaches the seven, when she reaches seven, pray, son. Pray, daughter, and teach them how to pray, teach them how to make wudu, how to purify themselves, teach them what break the wudu, and you command them to pray. The ulama, they says they pray, alhamdulillah, be happy for them. Try even to give them gifts. Be happy, show that you're happy that they pray. They did not pray, you don't get mad at them. Don't yell at them. You don't discipline them. But you be serious, tell them, no, son, you should pray, it's good for you. So you do this five times a day. Huh? Right or wrong? How many times? How many times a month? Time 30, for example. 150. How many times a year? Huh? 1800. And you have to do it how many times? How many years? 3 years. Time 3, 5400. Right or wrong? I've done this math before. Alhamdulillah. 5400 what? Dollars? Some people's like, he said $5,400. No, we're not talking about dollars here. Talking better than dollars. Talking about what? What are we talking about, Abdullah? Huh? Salat. What we're talking about is 54 what? Huh? Commands. That the parents command who? The children. How many times in these 3 years? Some 5,400 times. These are children. They're very smart, akhi. Do you have to tell a child 5,400 times to go to the cookie jar? Do you have to tell him 5,400, go get a cookie? Man, sometimes you don't even have to finish the sentence. They know it. You know what? Go in the kitchen and get his bag. Here's one for you. I already got a cookie for him, two for him and one for you. Right, Dries? Huh? But now I'm talking about giving a child that Allah gave him a brain, intellect. Children are smart, by the way. And may Allah protect them, I mean. 54 times, pray nicely, kindly, in a good way. You think they're not going to get it? They're going to get it. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ramzan al-Hajri, hafidhahullah, once he was talking, and he did the math himself too. And he said, subhanallah, he said some animals, they train them, right? You know how sometimes people train pets. They don't do it 100 times and the animal know what to do, right or wrong. You've seen cats sit? You've seen cats, they you tell them sit, they sit? No? What cats do, those who have cats? What cats can do? Before making a mess, now we're not talking about that. Talking meow, yeah. Now, what cats do something like extraordinary, something like, whoa, subhanallah. Now, nothing? They play with the yarn now. They go to the little box. Naam. The little box to do what in it? We know what they do in there. They go there. They don't do it on the carpet anymore. On the sofa. They go. Why? Because you take them. How many times? Maybe 10 times. Some of them maybe the first time. Some 20 times. Actually, I share with you my mother's side. My mother, she's from the country in Morocco. No, it's not the country anymore. It's still a country, but there is more people moving there. But when I was like 10, 15, or 12, I used to go and visit sometimes. And my uncle's house in there. And his house is in the middle of nowhere. I mean, literally, we get on the what do you call it? The horse with what?
Wagon.
With the wagon. So we go for like 20 minutes on that thing. Then you see another house. It's like it used to be huge, you know? So one day I'm like, after we eat breakfast, we're playing, and I saw this donkey. You know the donkey, right? This donkey walking by itself. Nobody with a donkey. Go on. And you see it because it's a way wide, you know, space, open space. No houses. I don't see no house, but I see a donkey coming the whole way. I'm like, I said to my cousin, same age, 12, 13, 14, I said to my cousin, oh, I lost a donkey. They laugh at me. They start laughing. I'm like, why are you laughing? It's not a lost donkey, not a donkey of so-and-so, a couple miles down the road. So, yeah, he's lost. He says, no. I said, you mean he's going to the house? He says, yeah, he does that every morning. So how does he know? That's the point. They told me, they says, yeah, that's not the only one. These couple donkeys, they go, they know their way. The man, he take the donkey with him in the morning to the market. It's not like here they have bodegas and stuff all around the corner, two blocks here. No, you gotta walk, man. You gotta travel to buy some food. So he will take that donkey, load him up, come with him a couple times for a couple weeks or a month. The donkey, he knows the path. Now, as soon as he put him on that road, go ahead. The donkey go home. And everybody know that this is a donkey of so-and-so, and he's gonna go past houses and stop at the same person's house. No. If a donkey does it, a human being, and that donkey, they do it only a couple times, let's say a couple hundred times. Now we're talking about a human being. And 54 times. Huh? 5400. So now, when those of us parents that we complain about our teenager are not praying, what is the problem? We didn't command them. When we're supposed to command them, we didn't command them. Go to play. Go to your room. See? Go outside. No. Yes, they can go play outside. They can do things and do the other. But in time of the Salat, go pray, son. Bring them with you to the masjid. Bring them. But if they say, I don't want to go today, don't say, you got to go. Come, get in here, brother. No, inshallah, leave them. You're just commanding them, inshallah ta'ala. Likewise, from the etiquettes of Islam. Islam commands the parents to be just between the children as well. You want them to be righteous? Well, look, he mentioned the salat. Likewise, you want them to be righteous? You got to be just between your children. If you have more than one child, you got to be just between them. We'll continue after the adhan, inshallah. Now. So the Shaykh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala is saying that you have, that the parents are commanded to raise their children upon righteousness and to keep them away from evil and corruption. And he mentioned the example that they should command the children to pray. Look at the importance of the prayer in the righteousness of the children. Very important. Likewise, command the parents to be just between the children. Fil atiyya. In gifts, presents. Somebody who has more than one child, want to give a gift, cannot just give a gift to one child and ignore the rest. La, can't do that. يَمْنَعُ الْوَالِدُ يُمْنَعُ أَنْ يُعْطِي بَعْدَ أَوْلَادِ وَيَحْرُمْ بَعْدَ الْآخِرِ. The parents are prohibited and from giving one and denying the rest of the children. لماذا؟ لأنه يفضي إلى العداوة بين الأولاد ويجر إلى القطيعة التي تفكك الأسرة وتهدم بناءها. Why? Because this will bring enmity between who? Between the brothers and sisters. They start to hate that brother of theirs or that sister of theirs. And the shaitan is tricky. Why they always take care of him? Why always her? And then the shaitan tells me, yeah, because they spy on you. They always say bad things about you to the this, that, that. Oh, they love them more and this. And then the enmity between the children leads to that, to chaos in the family. Can you imagine if the brothers and the sister hate one another in the family? Yeah, that's a big problem. They should love one another. The brothers love their brothers. The sisters love their brothers and sisters. Actually, we Muslims, we love the Muslims. It's not even your brother, your sister, you love them for the sake of Allah. So that brother is only your brother in Islam, and he is your brother by family and by blood. But if the parents, see the parents, they're the one that start stuff. When they start favoring one over the rest, or couple over others, then they start problems in the family, which lead to ruin and this destruction of that family. Family be destroyed. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. And here is an example, يا أخوان. قال الشيخ عن النعمان بن بشير رضي الله عنه في صحيح مسلم. This is in صحيح مسلم. On the authority of النعمان بن بشير رضي الله عنه, who said, تصدق علي أبي ببعض ماله. فقالت أمي عمرة بنت رواحة, لا أرضى حتى تشهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فانطلق أبي إليه يشهده على صدقتي. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, أفعلت هذا بولدك كلهم؟ قال لا. فقال, اتقوا الله واعدلوا في أولادكم. فرجع أبي في تلك الصدقة. النعمان بن بشير رضي الله عنه, one of the great companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, from the youth amongst the companions in the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, He's telling us this story, this something that happened in his family. He said that his father has given him some charity, something. He gave him a property or some wealth or... He said, so when my father did that, give me that, my mother, and he mentioned her name, Amra bint Rawaha. Says, my mother, Amra bint Rawaha, she said to his father, I'm not pleased with what you just did until you go and talk to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about it. Go talk to the Messenger of Allah. Get his approval of what you just did. So he said, so my father went to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, trying to get the approval of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if that action is okay or not. Me giving my child this. Look what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him. The Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, did you do the same thing with all of the rest of your children? What you give to Nu'man, do you give it to the rest of the children as well? He says, no, just him. Then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, fear Allah and be just with your children. Fear Allah and be just. He says, so therefore my father, he took that back. My father took that back. It's very important. The way you smile to this one, the way you look at this one, the way you take this one. You cannot, you have four or five children, and you're always taking one, hunting, fishing, taking them place, taking them, you're buying them, you know, you take them out and you leave the rest, and then when you take that one only all time, and you buy them this, and buy them that, and buy them presents, and they eat, you say, okay, we're not going home until you finish everything. Eat, brother. Last bite. And then what happened? And that child comes and says, oh, man, father, give me this. Took me here. We went to here. We went to there. And then the other children are like, subhanAllah, why not us? See? La. If you, some person may not be able to take everybody at once, but if you take this person, tell the other one, it's your next time. And remember that he's next. Not when the next time comes, just another time. Come here, and you hug one and forget about the other. This is not right. It is not right. If anybody is doing that, they should stop. They should stop and they should be just. This is the command from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Be just with your children. Some parents, subhanAllah, and that's why we bring in these classes for us to learn. None of us is perfect. We got issues, man. You agree with me, Tariq?
Yes.
Huh? I got issues, man. You know? May Allah have mercy on us and help us to change and make us from those who they understand, yes, we do have issues. We have deficiencies. If somebody say, no, he's all right, he's straight, that's a deficiency in itself. I'm straight, man. I don't know what the brother is talking about. I'm straight. I hope so. Allah, from the bottom of my heart, I want you to be like that. But yeah, we, alhamdulillah, we try our best to be nice and kind, but one day we act different way. As long as we know that, yeah, subhanAllah, I shouldn't say that, I shouldn't do that, I shouldn't go there. At least we know, we recognize our problems. It's like someone, man, who's driving with a flat tire, and he's like, man, my car is straight. I don't know what you're talking about. Check your eyes, man. I know. Flat tire, you got flat tire. No, my car doesn't have no flat tire. That's the best car in town. Akhi, pull over and fix that flat tire. Likewise. Naam. We want good, we want happiness, we want joy. But one day, man, one Monday, one Wednesday, one Friday, one Sunday may not be like the rest, like the other days. And it's a test. And remember, when the dunya, man. I remember, this is a place of test. So as long as we know, oh yeah, I'm a human. I can make mistakes. No, she's a human. I'm married. I'm not married to an angel. She's a human. Yes, I expect for her to be nice as much as she can, but I keep in reality that she's going to be tripping some days. And please pardon and forgive my language. Yes. But one, yeah, that's what you're going to say. Alhamdulillah, you make dua, oh Allah. Make dua in your sujood, when you fast, in the tahajjud, if you make umrah, if you make hajj in Arafat, make dua, oh Allah. Make my wife the best wife. Make her righteous, because you're going to benefit, you. Oh, make dua against her, and now she start acting up, you know, where you bring that from? What about the dua you made after Asr against her? Now you make dua, but she's a woman. She may say things here or there. You're like, alhamdulillah. No, she's okay with me. Inshallah. Maybe she's having a bad day. Let me find out why she's acting, because that's not her nature, see? Because if you don't do this, what's going to happen? Fight. Why are you looking at me like that? Huh? No, wait, no. She's like, I'm going to go feed the baby. Feed the baby what, man? Forget about the baby. The baby crying, they want to argue. Forget about the baby. You think a man has the right mind now? You think this man is doing the right thing? Forget about his own baby who's crying? No. You say, alhamdulillah, mashallah. She's looking at me that way. That's not her, but hey, she's a human. That's okay with me. I act up too. The same way I expect from my wife, that I hope she's listening right now, that she let me ride sometimes, man. You know, like she never heard what I said. The problem is some of us, what do you say? Allah was merciful to you, didn't get it. I said, mercy from Allah that you didn't get it the first time. So why are you looking for trouble? What do you say? No, I want to hear what you said. Yeah, I'm serious about it. I ain't going to work. He's going to get fired. See how problem started? Akhi, we're supposed to be the other way around. The woman said it 5 times and you still ignore her. No, I ain't hear you. You heard me, brother. Yeah, well, that's what you think. I ain't hearing that stuff. Why? Because you know when you ignore things, alhamdulillah, even little kids, they know what I'm talking about. We got to learn to ignore things, man. Let things rise. But you don't ignore everything. But at that moment, when your husband's sister is very mad, ignore. And don't tell him, you know what? I know what you said, but I'm ignoring you. No, I'm not saying that. That's going to make it worse. But I got to, you know what I'm going to do, brother? I'm going to ignore you. No, don't say that now. That's a problem. Now you ignore in a nice way, with a smile. It's difficult. It's not going to be easy. But this is the right stuff, man. This was going to help us. This was going to help us, man. This was going to add more beautiful years in our marriages, man. Now, this is the fuel. Man, people running with no gas. Where are you going to go? I'm making it to Carolina. Man, so you got to stop in a gas station first. You're on the E. You've been on the E for a long time. You ain't going nowhere. Likewise, we want our children to be hafad, to be students of knowledge, scholars. We want this Dawah Salafiyah to reach everywhere. We want now, which is a good things. But we got to do it. Who's going to do the work for us? We have to educate our children. We have to make sacrifices for them and for their education, for their upbringing, for their righteousness. And then it's going to be good for them and it's going to be good for us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify our affairs. Amen. And make us the best parents for the best children. May Allah make us the best example for them. May Allah grant us knowledge and righteous actions. May Allah make us humble and modest to accept our deficiencies and our shortcomings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who never transgress the boundaries of Allah. And if we do, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make beloved to us tawbah. And make us from those who turn to Him constantly asking for pardon and for forgiveness. And if we harm anyone, we let them know. And we ask forgiveness before a day come on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And matters will be settled only through good deeds and bad deeds. No forgive, excuse me, I'm sorry. Yeah, I know I hurt you. And now people are not going to accept that. That should be in this dunya. Do it for yourself. Because if we harm people in any way, and we stand in Yawm al-Qiyamah in front of them, they're not going to hear, I'm sorry, you know, I know I wasn't this, that. They looking at your good deeds. And if you don't have good deeds, they say, well, sure, take some of my bad ones. As it came in the hadith. So, may Allah make it easy on us. Ameen. Jazakum Allah khair. And we continue next week, inshallah ta'ala. Subhanak Allah wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama taslima kathira.